Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. Now this study we're going to be talking about the two olive trees of Romans chapter 11. But before we go to Romans chapter 11, we're going to cover some other scripture, give us a little background work. All right, Hosea chapter 1, notice in verse 1 the Bible says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. In the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again, and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Luruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Luruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Loamah, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. But the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us about what God's going to do. Now I want you to notice back in verse 9 it says, "Then said God, Call his name Loamah, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." Now there's going to be a time where Hosea is prophesying where Israel will not be the Lord's people anymore. All right? And so what we're going to do, we're going to get to that time. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. All right, in Luke chapter 13, I want you to notice in verse 6. Luke chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." So what we have here is a parable, all right? And I'm going to give you a sneak preview of what the parable is talking about. The certain man would be God the Father. He had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. That fig tree would be the nation of Israel. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now the nation of Israel was supposed to gather fruit unto itself for the Lord. Verse 7, "Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." So what we have here is we have a parable that's going to talk about 3 years and then another year called this year also. All right? And after that, he's going to cut it down. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. I want you to go to Luke chapter 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. All right, in Luke chapter 16, I want you to notice in verse 16 it says, And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So what we have here, we have scripture telling us that the law and the prophets were until John. All right. In other words, the kingdom of God was not preached before John the Baptist. John the Baptist came on the scene, and he was preaching, all right, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right. So what we have here is, we have scripture telling us about when this 3 years started, okay? It's when John came on the scene and he started preaching the kingdom of God and God seeking fruit among the children of Israel. Now watch. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, I want you to notice in verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So what we have here is we have scripture telling us that Jesus was 6 days before the Passover. Now this Passover that he's talking about is the one that he died at, okay? Jesus Christ died on the 14th day of the first month, and Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb. So in John chapter 12, we have scripture telling us about the Passover which he died at. Now let's go to John chapter 6. We're going to back up to John chapter 6. All right. John chapter 6, notice in verse 1 it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Verse 4 says, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So what we have here in John chapter 6, we have another Passover. But this one is the year before he died. Okay? We have one in John chapter 12. We have one in John chapter 6. They're a year apart. Let's go to John chapter 2. In John chapter 2. All right. In John chapter 2, Jesus Christ did the miracle at Cana of Galilee. He turned water into wine. I want you to notice in verse 12, he says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So what we have here is we have another Passover. Now this Passover in John chapter 2 is a year before the one in John chapter 6. The one in John chapter 6 is a year before the one in John chapter 12. So what we have is three Passovers in a row. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a chart up here on the screen for you, and what I want you to do is see these Passovers. Over there to the right part of your screen, you can see the cross, and you can see the Passover that Jesus Christ died at. And then you can see several Passovers before then, and what I want to show you is that God was sent John the Baptist down here, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, and what they're doing is seeking fruit upon the nation of Israel, okay? And he says, I've found no fruit. And the Lord says, let's give it along this year also, and after that, if it doesn't produce any fruit, we'll cut it down. All right, so what we have here is we have a parable that's telling us about the nation of Israel. We have prophecy telling us about one day that God's going to make it to where they are not his people anymore. All right, now watch. Let's go to Romans. No, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Now, Acts chapter 7 took place after the cross. It's about a year after the cross. All right, in Acts chapter 7, if you remember in the Holy Scriptures that the Jews, all the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were all giving the apostles a hard time and telling them not to preach in Jesus' name. Now, if we go into Acts chapter 7, I want you to notice in verse 51. So what we have here is we have Stephen. He's preaching to them about Jesus Christ, and he tells them that they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now, you'll probably remember in an earlier lesson that we talked about Jesus Christ standing up. But if you don't remember, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. In Isaiah chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 13, the Bible says, "The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." There's two reasons the Lord stands up, and that's to plead and to judge. Now, we know for a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ pleaded with the nation of Israel. I gave you scripture before on that. But here in Acts chapter 7, Jesus Christ stands up to judge the nation of Israel in unbelief. And the Apostle Paul records this in Romans chapter 11. So what we have here is, once again, Jesus Christ, he stands up. This is about a year after the cross. All right. Remember in the parable, he said he would give them this year also. So what we have here is at the end of that year, they killed Stephen and they stoned him and he died. But before he died, he looked up into heaven, saw Jesus Christ standing up. And this is when the Lord Jesus Christ judged the nation of Israel in unbelief. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, I want you to notice in verse 30. Romans chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "For as ye in time past..." Now, let me tell you what's going on here. Paul's talking to the Gentiles, and he says, "For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief." In other words, talking about Israel's unbelief. "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." When did God conclude them all in unbelief? Well, he told Israel that he was going to give them this year also, and after that, he was going to cut them down, okay? So God judged them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all, and he gave the dispensation of the grace of God unto the Gentiles, where you can be saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1. All right, Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Now watch. It says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so at this present time," notice he says this present time, "also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work." All right, it's definitely clear in verse 6 here. Grace is grace, works is works. They're not the same. Verse 7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." So what we have here, people, is we've got scripture telling us about Israel. Now, God has a few of them out there. He calls them the elect, okay? But the rest of Israel was blinded, the Bible says. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 8. "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So what we have here is we have Scripture talking to us about Israel falling. It says here, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about Israel. God forbid, but rather through their fall, that's Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So what we have here, people, is Scripture telling us about God casting away Israel. In other words, Israel is not God's people today. The Bible says so in many places, okay? Israel is blinded today. They were cast away. But what we have today is called the elect of Israel, all right? And they are just a remnant. They're just a few, but the rest of them were blinded. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou wert, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So what we have here, people, we have Paul's telling us, and he's using an allegory of about the olive trees. Okay, and we have a good olive tree and we have a wild olive tree. All right, and the Gentiles come from a wild olive tree. The good olive tree is God offering salvation. Okay, and what happened was he was offering salvation unto the nation of Israel. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So what God did, he broke them off. Now I want you to look at this little video here. He broke them off and cast them to the side, but notice he left some branches on the tree, okay? These branches represent the remnant of Israel. And then what he did, he took the branches off the wild olive tree and he grafted them into the good olive tree. That way the Gentiles could be partakers of salvation, okay? Do you see that? Now watch, let's go on. It says, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, a lot of people, they use this verse right here to show where you can lose your salvation. But God's not talking about losing your salvation here. He's talking about nations being joined together, okay? He's talking about the nations of the Gentiles being grafted into the olive tree, the good olive tree. The thing is, one day they are going to reject the Lord, and the rapture is going to take place, and God's going to cut the Gentiles off of the olive tree, and he's going to graft the Israel back into the good olive tree. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 22 again. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So once again, look up on the screen here. I want to show you another video, all right, of the branches that were cast away at one time. God's going to put them back into the good olive tree, and he's going to cast the wild olive tree branches. He's going to cast them off, put the good olive tree branches back in, and then he'll be dealing with the nation of Israel again, and once again, they will be God's people, and God will lift the blinders off of Israel. Now watch, notice in verse 25. Verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So what we have here, people, Paul is trying to tell us, he says, do not be ignorant of this mystery, all right? The word ignorant is not a bad word. It just means to lack understanding, okay? He says, don't lack understanding of this mystery that he's about to show you, all right? Now, this mystery is that Israel is blinded in part, okay? Now, watch, once again, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Excuse me. All right, so what we have here is it tells us that Israel will be blinded in part until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, right now, we're living during the dispensation of the grace of God. God is dealing with the Gentiles. Now, watch. I want you to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to notice in verse 1. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now let's stop right here. And what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that this dispensation of grace was given to the Apostle Paul to give to whom? To give to the Gentiles. So today, look on the screen. I want to show you the dispensation of grace chart. We're living during the dispensation of grace. This is given to the Gentiles. Now, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, all right, the rapture will take place, the dispensation of grace will be over, and God will lift the blinders off of Israel, and God will have 7 more years that he's dealing with the nation of Israel according to Daniel's prophecy. All right? Now watch. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now, at the after the dispensation of grace, we have the rapture that's going to take place, okay? And then we have the tribulation period, which is Daniel's 70th week. In Daniel's 70th week, after Daniel's 70th week, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come roaring from heaven out of Zion, the Bible says. He's the deliverer, and he's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And the Bible says, "For this is my covenant unto them," that's Israel, "when I shall take away their sins." So Israel's sins will be forgiven when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. All right, but what we have here is that before then, Israel will be blinded until the rapture, until the dispensation of grace is over. And at that time, then Israel's eyes will be lifted. Now watch, let's go on. I want you to go to, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 38, he's prophesying about a time, and he's talking about a war that's going to happen, okay? There's going to be a battle taking place, and it's got to deal with the nation of Israel and some other nations, okay? Now, I want you to notice in verse, we're going to skip around here. I don't want to have to read both chapters to you. Ezekiel chapter 38, notice in verse 1 it says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia and Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare that for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled with thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Now, what's going to happen is this group of people, okay, different nations, they're going to join together and they're going to come against the nation of Israel, and they're going to come from the north. But what's going to happen is the Lord is going to battle for the nation of Israel. All right, now watch. Notice in verse 22. All right, I tell you what. Let's go back. Let's go back to verse 18. It says, And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. All right, so what's going to happen? The Lord's going to take this battle into his hands, okay? These nations are going to come against Israel. The Lord's going to handle them. You can see here with great hailstones and fire and brimstone and all kind of stuff. He's going to take care of Israel, and he is going to win this battle for the nation of Israel. Now watch what happens, okay? Notice in Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. Verse 17, And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, Speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, Assemble yourselves and come, Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs and goats, of bullocks and all the fatlings of Bashan. And you shall eat the fat till you be full, and drink blood till you be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. Now watch. Verse 22, very important. So shall the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. So what we have here is we have the Lord's going to take this battle into his hands. He's going to win this battle for the nation of Israel. He's going to show himself to the heathen what all the things that he's done, and the heathen will know that he is the Lord. And we have here, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. So what we got here is we got a battle that's going to happen, and from that day forward, the Israel will know that the Lord is their God. Now watch verse 23. Very important. The next verses. Watch this. and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so fell they all by the sword. So what we have here is we have scripture that tells us why Israel went into captivity, and why the Lord hid his face from them, because they trespassed against him, all right? But what we have here is, we have Paul telling us in the book of Romans that Israel was blinded, and we have here God hid his face from them. They were not his people anymore. Now watch, let's go on to verse 24. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and will have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit unto the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Now once this battle takes place, all right, God says, this is it right here. When this takes place from this day forward, you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. I won't hide my face from you anymore, all right? So from this time on, God's going to be dealing with the nation of Israel again, okay? They've got 7 years before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and this event is going to take place, okay? And this event is going to take place sometime around the fullness of the Gentiles. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, all right, notice, let's go back to verse 7. Romans chapter 11, verse 7, it says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Talking about Israel being blinded and Israel being cast away. Notice in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So what we have here is we have scripture that tells us where God's going to cast them away. They are going to become, lo am I, not my people. He's going to hide his face from them. They will be blinded until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now watch, verse 25 again. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. What's going to happen is God's going to lift the blinders off of Israel. They're going to be able to see, and the Bible says that the Lord will not come until they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will come, and he will save Israel at the second coming of Christ. He's going to set up the new covenant that he promised them. This is when they're going to get their forgiveness of their sins. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 19, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, notice what Peter is saying. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So what we have here is, we have Peter preaching that your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, when the Lord comes back and he's here, All right? That's when you'll get your sins blotted out. That's the same thing Paul says. He says here in verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he roars out of Zion. The Bible says that is when they're going to get their forgiveness of sins. But today, we have forgiveness of sins the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now watch. Go to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom," now watch verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So people, we have forgiveness of sins right away. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are completely wiped out. They're out of there, okay? And you're forgiven of all your sins, the past, the present, and the future. Now watch. Let's go on to Romans. Let's go back to Romans, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, now I want you to notice in verse 9, the Bible says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're out there today and you're watching this video and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you remember a time in your life where you realized that you needed a Savior and you called upon Jesus Christ and you asked him to save you? If you haven't called upon Jesus Christ to save you, people, you're not saved. You need a Savior. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved."